Okay, kind of a serious note. My mom suffers from mental illness, and I was wondering if you had any insight into mental illness in general. I've stopped trying to come up with a cure for her, but I'm not really sure how to be with her.
We've been talking about just reaching for the thought that feels better. And sometimes what others describe as mental illness is a sort of coping mechanism that feels better to the one who is experiencing it than the alternative. That thought doesn't feel all that satisfying to you, we know. But do you think that your mother is experiencing as much pain about where she is as you are?
In the past, I would have said I experience more, but currently I think that she is.
And how is it demonstrating?
Oh, you know, she cries a lot, suicide attempts, she's depressed, you know, just voicing tremendous pain and sadness in terms of her lot in life.
The hardest thing and the worst thing for anyone to do is to turn their attention towards something that they cannot do anything about. And by that we mean you cannot adjust your behavior or adjust your influence in a strong enough way to make any great difference in the way your mother is approaching her experience. And as you try to do that, you hold yourself in this place of frustration because you have a desire that there is no way for you to achieve. And so as you instead begin to adjust your desire a little bit by saying to yourself things like, I'm the creator of my reality and she is the creator of hers, and I cannot know what's going on in her mind, but I can know what's going on in mine. And then you begin to direct your thoughts to the things that feel best for you. Now, it's going to take some willpower and determination because are you in a situation where you see her every day?
No, and things have definitely improved. I've worked on it.
Now, there are many who would say, but Abraham, you should not teach this daughter abandonment of her mother. And we say, we're not teaching her abandonment. We're teaching you alignment with who you are, because you're not going to abandon her. You're going to selectively find thoughts about her. And when you are in alignment and holding someone as your object of attention, you can offer some balance or some infusion of well-being to them, you see. Now, this is a little tricky, but we can feel the stability of your being, and so we think that it would be a comfortable and easy thing for you to do. We would write letters to her. We would write a letter to her, like every week, if you can. And during the week, while we're not writing the letter, we would think of things that we are wanting to write. And we would write things that are distracting in nature. We would not write about the subject of her illness, and we would not write about the subject of the things that she seems to want to talk to you about. We would write about our own life. We would write about what we saw today. We would write about some comical thing that we saw. In other words, we would collect things that are funny. We would just sort of give her a barrage that is a sort of sampling of who you really are. And we know that there are times that she will resonate with that much more clearly. Now, the thing about this is that very often when you come together with her, it's at a time when she's at her least stable. And so you get the impression that she's always there like that, but she's not always there like that. She has moments of clarity, and she has moments that don't feel so bad. She just reaches out for you in moments that are less than feeling so good.
Thank you. I have another question. Earlier, you made the comment that you weren't going to talk up, you know, the gloriousness of death so much because you don't want everybody jumping off of buildings. I don't personally feel that suicide is a sin, but periodically I do wrestle with, okay, if mom does successfully kill herself, does that mean she's condemned to, you know, what they show in movies and stuff, this life of limbo and eternity?
No, it means she's a deliberate creator more than most. Every death is suicide. Some of you just bring it about in a longer, slower, more painful way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Every death comes in response to the vibrational countenance. And those exaggerated extreme measures, people make laws about a lot of things. We can tell you exactly when that religious rule about suicide came into being. People saying, you need to behave in this way because it was economically feasible for the whole. And a few of you said, I am independent and I will not bend to your will. And then they said, well, you must bend to our will or there will be this punishment. And many of you were not influenced by that, and many of you were. But as the rules came on stronger, many of you began to conform your behavior, while others would not. Then, as you began observing from your state of logic, you said, I'm keeping all of the rules and not breaking any of the rules, and I'm not being blessed as you promised. And these people over there are breaking all of the rules and not keeping any of the rules, and they seem to be living pretty well. And then they said to you, oh, you cannot tell while you are still living in this physical body. The punishment or the reward comes after the fact. And that worked pretty well for a while, in other words, because what it did was it kept you doing the things that they needed you to do in order to support the things that they selfishly wanted. In other words, anyone that's trying to control anyone else is doing it from their own motivation of selfishness. They're not different from anyone else. And so do not worry about it. The death experience for everyone is one of relief and release. No exception.
Thank you.
We often tease. We say you would not give the death penalty to those you abhor if you knew what the death experience was really like. You'd keep those buggers alive as long as possible.